Book of Ephesians. Now, I love the book of Ephesians. Now, actually, it's been several years. I didn't look back, but it's probably been 5 years, 4 years, at least, till we went through the book of Ephesians. Probably a couple of years. Well, you just finished up Ephesians, didn't you, a little while back? And when was that? About 4 years ago? Well, mine was before that, wasn't it? So it was a couple of years before that. So it's hard to believe that, but now we've preached out of the book of Ephesians. But I want to remind you of that little outline that we gave and used. Chapter number one, redemption. Amen. I'm glad you and I have got redemption. Amen. The book of Ephesians talks about redemption. Now, we use the wealth, the wonder, the work, and the walk, and the warfare in the book of Ephesians. Now, chapter number one, we see redemption. Chapter number two, we see being reconciled back to God. He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I'm glad I've been reconciled tonight. Amen. Glad I've been saved by the grace of God. Then we go to chapter number three. We see the revelation that was given unto Paul, the mystery that was revealed to him about the church. Chapter number four, we see our responsibilities. Amen. The responsibilities that you and I have. And that first thing he says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so we see that to walk worthy of him. And I think Brother Richard is redoing some things on our printer. I mean, on our sound system. He had some problems this morning, so he's trying to redo them. So you'll just bear with him for there. He'll get her settled down. And then in chapter number five, reflections. The Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God. We're to be followers of him. That word followers means to be an imitator. We're to imitate him. Dr. Gibbs said it best. He said, our number one job is to make Jesus look good. I just wonder, how good are we doing at that? If somebody sees us, how do they think about our Lord? Then in the midst of this chapter, and about verse number 18, God changes gears a little bit instead of the reflection where he talks about relationships. And boy, we dealt with those relationships there. Be not drunk with wine, but it says be filled with the Spirit. Do you realize this is a command for you to be filled with the Spirit of God? It's a command for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, but except be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he begins to talk about our relationship, husband and wife relationships, and the relationship between, as he goes into chapter number 6, verses 1 through 10, 1 through 9, excuse me, he begins to deal with those relationships we have, children and the parents and the servants, those that would be servants and slaves or would be in our day employers and employees. And then we come to the last one in Ephesians, and that is Ephesians chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 10, and that's just a real warfare. I hate to tell y'all, but this is a battlefield, not a playground. And may I say to you tonight that in this battlefield, people are really dying. And they die without God. This is not politically correct. They die without God. It's biblically correct. They die and go to hell. And I'm talking about boys and girls that's past the age of accountability. I don't know what that age is, but there is an age, I know. But they die and go to hell. Men and women, boys and girls, grandpas and grandmas, that dies without God, they die and go to a burning hell. We still believe the Bible, right? I'm okay, right? We still believe the Bible. I'm telling you what, we're living in such a society that you preach the Bible and people say, oh, he's a hate monger. No, that's the Word of God. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's the truth. And so that's the look. It's an overview of the book of Ephesians. I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. In the next hour or two, we're going to preach. Y'all aren't paying attention. We want to start with verse number 3. And I want to preach on the blessings of the Trinity. The blessings of the Trinity, the blessings of God that God gives us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Now, God, speak to us, preach to us, Father, preach through us, and use us tonight in a special way. Bless your people. Convict that one that needs conviction. Cheer that one that needs cheering. Help, we do pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We come here. Now, when I say the Trinity, I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in a triune God. We believe in God in three persons. Simply stating, the doctrine of the Trinity is a foundational truth for the Word of God. And if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll have a real problem with your Bible. Yeah, you have a real problem. First of all, you have a real problem understanding it.
Yeah.
If you go to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you go to verse number 14, and it said that Word became flesh and dwelt among men.
Amen.
Amen. And so you realize, hey, that there's a God, that there's a God in heaven, there's a God that came, and that's God the Son, and then there's a God, the Spirit of God, that's speaking and working and working in our generation, working in our day. The Holy Ghost of God is working. Holy Spirit, don't let the Holy Ghost scare you, okay? Holy Spirit is working in our day. And you're going to see all three of them in this text. You'll see all three of them in Ephesians chapter 1. And you'll find that we've been blessed. If you're going to understand the Word of God, it's a fundamental truth, and you're going to have to believe in the Trinity of the Lord Jesus, of the Trinity of God. It is critical for proper understanding of the Word of God. It's critical for you and I for us to relate to the Word of God, to let the Word of God relate to us and how we should relate to Him. It's critical that we must realize that it's a triune God. The doctrine of the Trinity is simply this, is that God is one God who is eternal and expressing Himself in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal, have co-power, and co-existence. Amen. That's the Trinity. That's the Trinity. Okay, with that in mind, we're going to see it. I'll show it to you, then I'll break it down and try to preach just on this great blessing that God has gave us. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's God the Father. And first of all, I say this, in this blessing that God has gave us, God the Father planned. When I'm talking about this blessing, I'm just going to give it right up front. I'm talking about salvation. Yeah. The greatest blessing you and I got not to be healed from some kind of sickness. The greatest blessing you and I, the greatest miracle that ever happened in our life, is God has transformed us from death unto life.
Amen.
We've been born again. Regenerated. Amen. Justified. I mean, there's all kinds of words we could use for it, but it means the same thing. It means, hey, this old hillbilly is getting to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rednecks in Georgia gets to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. We don't deserve it, but God's going to let us go.
Amen.
Why? Because of His Son. Look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, whose blood is it talking about? It's not talking about God. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God the Father planned the blessing. God the Son provided for our blessing.
Yeah.
There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be one to come. And then look at verse number 13. In whom ye also trust after ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, He's the one that pledges. He's the one that's, look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit of promise. And He has pledged for you. He has sealed us unto the day of redemption. What a blessing. Amen. Okay, let's go back to verse number 3 quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, you that was here years ago when I preached through this book, and I gave you what I think is the theme of this verse, of this book. Many thinks it's the church. I have no problem with that. Many thinks that the theme is salvation and what the key verse is. But I think that verse 4 is the key verse, and it ends with this, in love. I believe that love is what Paul is dealing with the church at Ephesus. I believe he's talking about what God has done for you and I, what Jesus Christ has provided for us, what the Spirit of God has sealed in us, is because of the love of God, for God so loved the world. And we could walk our way through, and we've done it before, we could walk our way through and see how many times he mentions love and how he uses that in these six chapters in the book of Ephesians. We're not going to do that, but we could. But I believe that's the theme. And then I make a statement. When in the Revelation, when John was dealing with the church at Ephesus, what did he say about him? He said, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he's speaking to them, and he said, before him in love. First of all, so he has blessed us. Notice this. Notice the source of our blessing. It comes from God.
Yeah.
Your blessings don't come from a church. Your blessing don't come from the denomination. Your blessing don't even come from your parents. The blessings you and I talk about, the blessings of God that God has bestowed upon you, it comes from where? It comes from heaven. It comes from Almighty God. The source of our blessing is because God, before the foundation of the world, He planned the way that you and I, mankind, can be saved. He said, preacher, He planned a way to be saved before man even sinned? Yes, we got a sovereign God. Now, just because I believe in a sovereign God does not mean that I'm a Calvinist. It just means I believe in the God of the Bible. Amen. I know He's a sovereign God. And Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that. God made provisions before man ever sinned. There'd be a way of escape. Yeah, I'll give you an illustration. When Abraham was to offer the sacrifice Isaac, while he was going up one side of the mountain, God had made a provisions. Going up the other side was a ram. Amen. Amen. God would made provisions. I'm telling you, God, if man sinned, God had made a way. And God made provisions. And Jesus Christ would be the way of salvation. I'm telling you, the source of our blessing is God. The source of our blessing is God. Amen. That what God has done for you and I, the source of our blessing is God. Do you know God tonight? Does God know you in a personal way? Do you know that Jesus Christ lives within you? And then the subject, he said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who have blessed us. Hey, who is that? Who is those us? Who is those people that he's talking about, us? Well, evidently Paul's talking about himself. And he's talking about the church of Ephesus. So you know what I believe he's talking about? He's talking about believers. I'm glad we got past that. Y'all still with me, ain't you? Okay? I mean, it's getting deep. Hey, God said He has blessed us and our believers. Not just a certain group of people. Not just a certain clan. He has blessed those in the place they have faith and they believed upon Jesus. He has blessed us all. Notice this. All. The scope of this blessing. We have all spiritual blessings in Him. Now, this blessing is more than just salvation. I understand that. But it starts with salvation. You got to be saved to get this blessing. You've got to be saved to have these blessings. And so, have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, what the sphere of it in heavenly places. And then we see the standing of it is it's in Christ. We got to be in Christ. We got to be put in Him. And boy, if we would take time and see every time that it mentions that we're in Christ, hey, we're in Him. That's why you and I don't have to worry about losing our salvation. For the devil to make us lose our salvation, Brother Bo, you know what he'd have to do? He'd have to reach down in Christ and pull us out. And if he would do that, he would go through the blood of Christ. And guess what? He'd give me a saved devil. Amen. He can't do it. He cannot pluck us out of the Father's hand. He cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. He cannot break the seal that God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Because why? We're sealed unto the day of redemption. Not sealed, broke the seal, sealed it again, broke the seal, sealed it again, broke the seal. No, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Hebrews says we have everlasting salvation. Eternal salvation. Amen. Hebrews said eternal redemption. And we're saved. What a blessing to know. Now we're getting into some other stuff that people really it bothers. Verses 4 and 5 bother some people, but you just got to know your Bible. Now I ain't a Bible scholar yet. I'm working on it. But look at verse number 4. According as He has chosen us in, I'm not trying to do different for the Christian, but you can put in Christ or in Jesus, in Him, in Christ. In Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Who's He chosen? I want to tell you what. I love the way B.R. Lakin said it. B.R. Lakin said it like this. Brother, he said, God votes for you. God wants you to go to heaven. The devil, Brother Ryan, the devil votes against you. He don't want you to go to heaven. But you know when you're voting, you count the votes, don't you? There's one for you, one against you. It's tied. How are you going to vote? Yeah. Amen? How are you going to vote? How are you going to vote? And so you have the decided voice. So you have to choose. You have a free will. You have to choose Jesus. You have to choose whether you want to be saved. You have to accept, receive. Many received him. Them gave him power to become the sons of God. Amen. And so in him from the foundation of the world. So we see we're chosen. We're chosen in Christ. We're chosen when? Before the foundation of the world. What? How could he choose before the foundation of the world? Because he was going to send his son. His son was going to be a payment for the sin debt for all the world.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. So if you're here tonight and you say, and the devil has tricked you and said, you know, hey, you've went too far, you can't. If the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and shows you're a sinner, you're a candidate for salvation tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Because before a person gets saved, all they have to do is be convicted by the Holy Ghost that they're a sinner.
Amen.
Amen. They have to see themselves as a sinner. And so you have the privilege tonight to choose to be saved tonight. I know we're not shouting hanging from the shed a little bit. It's pretty good preaching now.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, it's just truth.
Yeah.
Truth's in the Word of God.
Yes,
hey, this will keep you alive when emotionalism will kill you.
Yeah.
Hey, these are facts that'll help you when feelings is not around.
Yeah.
I know every one of y'all. I know y'all. You get up on Monday morning. Hallelujah. Glad I'm saved. Woo! Thank the Lord. Can't wait to get to work. Can't wait to do this. Can't wait to read my Bible. Can't wait to pray. Can't wait. Oh, I know you like it. Yeah, Bobo, that's me. No, sometimes you get up, you don't feel saved. Sometimes you don't even feel like living. Amen. Sometimes your faith is weak. Sometimes, sister, you're in the valley. I mean, you're down low. Hey, this is truth. We got a God that loves you and I. Put his seal of love on us. And the Father has provided salvation for us. Not this world, not what we've done. We're not keeping ourselves saved. Blessed be the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ, to inherit incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and are kept by the power of God. Well, you said, preacher, why did you quote so much? Because that's the only way I can get to kept by the power of God. Amen. I'm saying we are kept by the power of God. God, we're kept by him. That word kept means is a military word. It means a guard. And God has guarded us.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about election when you talk about chosen. Amen. We know that God has chosen the world. Amen. And then look at verse number 5. Here's another rough one now. Verse number 5, we see not only he's chosen us in verse number 4, but he's adopted us.
Yeah.
Having predestinated, that's a bad word for people. But all that simply means is this. It means he's predetermined what we're going to be in Christ. It's predetermined what you and I are going to be. When a person gets saved, it's predetermined. Hey, we're going to be made in his likeness. One day we're going to be like he is. That's what it means. It don't mean that this side's predestined and this side's not, even though it looks like some of you are not. I'm just joking. Hey, I'm going to say it. It don't mean that. It's already been predetermined. He's predetermined us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. It's God's will that not any perish, but all come to repentance.
Yeah.
And then look at verse number 6. It gets better. To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us. Don't read it. You won't believe it. Don't read it. You won't believe it. He has made us acceptable.
Amen.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Accepted. Brother Mike, Brother Stringer, God has accepted us. God has allowed us to have access to an all to himself. I mean, the veil has been rent. And the Old Testament economy, only the priest could walk in and this being the holies. But to go into the holies of holies, you had to be born of the lineage of Aaron. You had to have Aaron's blood flowing to you. But God made access. He rent that veil and made access for you and I that we could all enter into the very presence of God. We have accepted. We've been accepted. Amen. I mean, he has accepted us. And he has gave us access to God. I don't know what you... It's wonderful when people accept us and it allows us to enter into their lives, isn't it? I'm glad that Deborah accepted my love. Y'all not happy about it, but I'm happy about it. I mean, I didn't know what I was looking for, and God just put it right there before me. And I mean, most of you men married way above your scale. Well, that was a good place to say amen. Some of y'all in trouble. We've been accepted. We've been accepted. Look what it says in verse 6. We've been accepted in the beloved. That we're in the body of Christ. We're in the church. We've been accepted as the bride. Amen. And now, I don't know about you, but when we're talking about beloved, it makes people think about love. And I'm not talking about the love boat. I'm talking about love, how God loves us. And God loved us so much. You know, He loves us so much that He forgives us of our sins. But He loves us so much, He continues to forgive us for our sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive our sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that cleanse, it means that it continues and continues. I don't know about you, but I've sinned a lot after I got saved. If you haven't, I need to talk to you. You got a problem with lying. Amen. And we've sinned. And so we see here, God the Father planned this blessing. And He has blessed us, and He has chosen us, He has adopted us, and He has made us accepted in the family of God, in the beloved. Now, I can't help you no more. If that ain't going to help you, your helper's broke, okay? But then I come to what God the Son's provided. Now, all this was wonderful. That sounds great. But provisions have to be made for this to be done. Something had to happen where this plan could be fulfilled. Look what it says in verse number 7. In whom? There it is. In whom we have redemption. That's what He's been talking about. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Now we're talking about what God the Son has provided for you and I. He provided Himself. In whom? There's the person of salvation. Nor the name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. That wonderful name called Jesus. In whom? Not only whom, but then we see the redemption. We see the payment. And we realize that, hey, there had to be a payment for us to be redeemed. We was on the slave market of sin.
Yeah.
Somebody had to come and pay our sin debt. Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. And then, through, what's the path of this salvation? It's through what? Look what He said. Through His blood. We see the person, the payment, the path. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then look, what was the purpose of doing all this? Look at verse number 7 again. The forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus Christ went to Calvary.
Hey.
That's why agony was in the garden of Gethsemane. And then He went to that hill of Golgotha and freely laid down His life on Calvary.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, we looked at this morning, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him. You know what He could see? When He looked out over all those sinners, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I'm dying for those sinners. I'm shedding my blood for those sinners, that their sins could be forgiven. We couldn't have acceptance to God. We couldn't have a pathway to God if it wasn't that Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, it said, His body thou hast prepared me. The book of Hebrews tells Christ, or the book of Corinthians tells Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ is the Passover. Christ is the sacrifice. A body thou hast prepared me. He's that one that came to give His life's blood that sinners like you and I could be saved by the marvelous grace of God. That our sins could be forgiven. That we could be reconciled to God. We could have our slate. We could be justified just as if we've never sinned.
Yeah.
That we could be sanctified, set apart. Amen. That we could be regenerated, made anew,
yeah.
Made alive. that we can be reconciled. Amen.
Yeah.
Brought back to God in fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. One with Him again.
Yeah.
Amen. Now this will kill your theology, but it's right preaching. Okay? And it's simply this. I'm not completely saved. But I am completely saved. I'm already, chapter 2, I'm already seated in heavenly places. I'm already sealed to the day of redemption. But I'm still walking in this old flesh. I'm still living in this old Adamic nature. And part of me is not saved, this old flesh. But I've got one that lives inside of me called the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in the book of John, He took up His abode inside of us. He lives within us. And the first John tells us that one that lives within us is sinless.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And so I'm sinless inside. Not sinless by action, not even sinless by thought. I still live in this old flesh. But one day, I'm going to be completely saved.
Amen.
One day, I'm going to see Him, not through a cloud, not through a glass darkly, but I'm going to see Him face to face. Don't get excited. Come on now, don't get excited. I'm just going to see Him face to face. And guess what? I'm not going to die. I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm not going to talk about it physically. And when I see Him, I mean I'm not going to die. Because I'm going to have what the Bible says is my glorified body. Amen. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be what? Like Him. Boy, I've got a lot of expectations, don't I? I got a lot. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Don't get that now. Best is yet to come.
Amen.
Those valleys, sister, those low things I go, they're just temporal.
Yeah.
Those trials and those troubles, they're just for a season. They're going to pass and go. But one day I'm going to live with Him for all eternity.
Amen.
These temporal things shall pass away. But I'm glad what you and I have is an eternal thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what God the Son has provided you and I. He's provided us redemption. And then look at verse number 8. Excuse me. Wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, have made known unto us the mystery of His will. Hey, He is the revelation of His wisdom and the revelation of His will and the revelation that you and I, go on down to verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. Well, can I tell you, we've got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We've got something to look forward to. We can rejoice. Look at verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. I just wonder tonight, have you trusted in Him? Have you trusted in the provisions of this blessing? Have you trusted in the provisions that God has provided for us? Say, you can come down here. Help me out, Zeke. Put your Bible down for him. Zeke's going to come here and Zeke's joining the church. He's going to come join the church. And we said, Zeke, you're a pretty good boy?
Yes, sir.
Amen. See, we already know he's good Baptist. He lies. Love you, buddy. Hey, but yeah, and so we can talk. You obey your mom and daddy best you can. I know you have problems, but yeah, okay. I mean, you try to be good, though, don't you? Try to do good. You're doing good. You're trying your best to do good, right? Okay. I mean, you don't want to get in trouble. You don't want no spanking. Anyway, and we talk about all things, and we say, well, you know what, Philip, Pastor, we're going to accept you. On the merits that you are a good kid. On the merits that you are trying your best and you're doing your best. But that don't matter. We can accept Him all day.
Right.
Bring down. We can even go baptize Him in the baptismal pool.
Right. Yeah.
We can put His name on the roll. But that don't mean He's going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
That don't mean that He's going to make it
Amen. Into
heaven. So we got a lot of people. I trust none sitting in our building, but they could be. They've made a profession of faith. You know, if my profession of faith couldn't get me to church,
Yeah.
I'd really be questioning my profession of faith.
Yeah.
If my profession of faith didn't change me on the inside and show up out on the outside,
yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Peter said he gave us a divine nature. And he's gave us the power that we could live godly. I mean, he's gave us what we need within us.
Yeah.
If I wasn't convicted by my sins and convicted by living away from apart from God, I know we can backslide. But the whole time I was away from the Lord as a young man, brother, my whole time I was away from him, there was the Holy Ghost of God convicting me and showing me that I need to be saved. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Have you accepted His provision? So, the church, we can accept whatever He says and does. It don't matter what we accept.
Yeah.
It's not got anything to do with our creeds. It's not got anything to do with what we are as a church. What it's got to do is about Zeke's personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I have been birthed in the family of God. And see, Deborah and I have been married 27 years, May will be 28 years. And I know a lot about her, she knows a lot about me. But you know one thing I cannot tell you for sure? I can't tell you for sure she's saved. Now she can tell you that I'm saved. No, I'm just joking. Ain't no way I can tell you that she's saved. I believe she is. There ain't no way I can tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Brother Hub's saved. Even though he is from up north, I think he's saved. Amen. I really do. We love him. Amen. He's starting to talk like us. It's funny. You know, the only person in this building I know is saved is me.
Yeah.
And the only person you know is saved in this building is you.
Amen.
It's you. I can't make you saved. Your mom and daddy can't make you saved. This church can't make you saved. It's only because of the provisions, what was provided at Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing and putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary.
Amen. Yeah.
The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Then let me give you this last one. Hey, we should be rejoicing. Because we should be rejoicing because we've trusted in Him. Hey, we should be rejoicing that I'm not done with that point. Y'all figured it out here. And we should be rejoicing because we've heard the word of truth.
Amen.
Now, that prayer letter I read about the Kirkman, that person that just got saved, been coming to church off and on for almost, I think it said for 2 years. Man, time flies. They've been out there longer than I thought. And so, you know, they was raised in a different religion. They was raised here in a falsehood. Not the word of truth, but the word of error.
Yeah.
Really, we're so blessed, there shouldn't nothing keep us from praising God and shouting and praising Him. Because you and I have heard the gospel time and time again. Most of us was raised in Christian homes. We had so much privilege. We have to not R.C. King's daughter, right? Brother R.C. was up here sitting with me not too long ago. I don't know Brother R.C. really that well. Just been in some meetings with him. I understand he's a great preacher. I've never even got to hear him preach. We're going to get him to come preach for us sometime. I told him I'd get him to come to preach for us sometime. But says she's raised in a preacher's home. I was raised in a preacher's home. They called us PKs. Yeah. You know why PKs are mean? They play with DKs, deacon's kids. Amen. That's exactly. And I've been in church. I went to church 9 months before I was ever born. I'm so blessed. Y'all blessed to have the family that you have, boys. You girls, you're blessed to have the family you have. You young people that are sitting here and your mom and daddy loves one another and in church, you're blessed. I think we should rejoice because we've heard the word of truth. I've got to quit. Last one we see is the Spirit of God. God the Spirit. Look at it. We looked at it, verse 13. whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm promised.
Hey.
Amen. There's a day that is really, it was a big step in my life. A big step in Deborah's life. But in October, her folks always went out to Myrtle Beach and her dad liked to fish out there on the thing. Believe it or not, I wasn't fishing that night. I didn't go fish. I went out there and didn't fish at all. I was just interested in Deborah. Oh, my. Brother Nixon, this is bad. Brother Nixon is my fishing buddy. But we was walking in the afternoon, not just right at nighttime, down the beach. And I pulled out a ring. And she took it and held it and said, "Will you marry me?" And I said, "Yes, I will." "No, I'm just a..." And I asked her to marry me. And even though it was just, she said yes, and she took the ring, and we went back to where her family was, and her dad was not excited at all. He could care less. You know, it was funny, wasn't it? Mom and the sister was there, and oh, they was up in there. And and Mrs. Carrick said, "Jimmy, don't you just know, hey, your daughter just got engaged." "Yeah, I thought it was going to happen." Yeah. I thought it was going to happen. That's about all he said about it. He knew he wasn't getting much. I had everybody else fooled but him. But you know what? What happened at that time was really this. She promised to be mine, and I promised to be her.
Yeah.
And can you imagine me after I gave her that ring? Can you imagine her seeing me out with somebody else? You'd see a ring stuck right through his. Wouldn't be a piercing. It'd be a ring. Amen. Well, I'm trying to say, you and I have been promised.
Yeah.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You and I have been promised to another. We're part of the bride of Christ. We're sealed with this promise.
Yeah.
I wonder, what is robbing us? What is keeping us from loving Jesus like we should? What is keeping us from being what we should be? I'm telling you, God has gave us so many blessings, the blessings of the Trinity. The blessings that God would lay upon you and I. The Father would plant it. The Son would provide for it. And the sweet Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, would preserve us. Seal us.
Yeah.
Pledge, promise.
Hey.
I'm going to protect that bride. To get all the way into heaven. Amen. We're sealed.
Yeah.
Until the day of redemption. Let's stand our heads about.
Pray, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for any blessings. You'll bless us with everything that you've done for us and everything you do for us. Lord, just touch us and help us and use us, Lord, for honor and glory, Lord, exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we ask, we thank you, Lord. Just touch us and help us. Thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, we heard tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, all the Trinity. I thank you, Lord, for every part of the Trinity and how the just whole part of it just blesses us and it's for us to help us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to say that I am saved. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you announced that you come down to my heart and show me that I was a lost sinner dying and going to the devil's hell. I thank you, Lord, for that day. Just touch us and help us. Lord, give us all good week this week. Touch us, Lord, as we come back on Wednesday night. Lord, just have our hearts ready to receive, Lord, exactly what you have for us on Wednesday night. Just touch us and help us. Now, Lord, do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.